Set him at the back there. Yeah. Thank you very much, Mr. Wes Tuttle. Let's begin this morning's worship with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we consider this the most wonderful use of our freedom that we enjoy in America. The freedom to assemble with other believers, worship, sing, give, pray, open the Scriptures, study them, Heavenly Father, increase our knowledge of Jesus Christ. And Father, we just pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. Brian?
My soul in sad exile.
Thank you. Okay, I've got, first of all, the new chairs with a much, much wider cushion means that I can speak about 30 minutes longer. Your backside ought to be able to take 30 minutes more. We're most appreciative. These were given to us and by one of our own. And, you know, I haven't really been told the anonymous or the anonymous. Huh? That was the idea. They had to be anonymous. I can't slip. I can't say EW gave it to us or anything, huh? All right. But we're very appreciative. And so enjoy. And we've got some left-handed ones, if you're a left-handed person. And we've got left-handed chairs. We've got right-handed chairs. And so we're in good shape. Let's see. Let me talk about yesterday, Friday and yesterday. We had a major catastrophe. We temporarily lost our website server. And I just want you to know that Julie Cooper and Jim Langston came down yesterday morning, got here about 7:45, and worked until, well, they left my house around 1, I guess. And we finally got it. We finally got it all. They finally. Yeah. They finally got it back on, restored, and we're going to be making some decisions about that. And I don't mind saying I really appreciate the new chairs. And if somebody else has some extra you want to give, we need some help over here that they'd rather not take out of our general fund if we don't have to. Yes, sir. No. 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 For our communion, yeah. Steve has sort of appointed himself kind of a chair watcher here, a chair monitor. And if he comes in and they're not right in line, he wants to know why they're not. And so I'm just, we're glad to have him. And like that. So, but I want to thank Julie Cooper and Brian and Jim Langston for all the work they did to keep us on the internet and the websites open. And we've got some decisions we need to really be making in regard to the internet. So those things will be done. And it's amazing I have any friends, because I like to lose friends this way. But let's see. Brian, you're a little older today, aren't you?
Yeah.
You and Jack Benny, 39. He's 80 years, 39. So, and, you know, his birthday, and so what he did, his wife has to be here half of the day of Saturday. So, well, happy birthday. And then, is Ryan in here or is she over there? She's over there. Well, Ryan Wise is 9 years old, and she's lasted 9 years in this world. So that's wonderful. And now, Thomas, how are you doing, sir? Okay. A little tired. School starting this week? Next Monday. Okay. All right. You think you'll be ready? Maybe. I mean, as far as your physical body, not your... We're never ready for school. Okay. Okay. That's right. You have to walk from class to class. Yeah. At high school today, you go to different classes for each, a different teacher for each subject, right? Different classrooms? Yeah. Wow. We had to do that. And, I think they'd improved on that by now, but okay. Well, we'll be in. Okay. School's long enough. Okay. Well, Thomas, we'll continue to be in prayer. Yes. Yes.
Treatment, and I think they started a new medicine because the old one they were taking, they quit making,
when they do, the old one used to take about 8 hours. So 3 hours, so we were out of there earlier. He had no reaction.
Wow, good. Yeah.
And he had to get sick, yes, the last two made him sick, you know, because it's antibodies, it's different things going in.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, Thomas, we'll just continue to be in prayer. I give thanks to God every day. You're on my daily prayer list, so just thank God for you very much. I'm sorry? And let's continue to be in prayer for Rick and Terry. And I'm sorry? You turned 39 also. Only you've been 39 a week now. Well, happy birthday to you. The word of God declares whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly or necessity. For just a moment, Heavenly Father, about our offer. Yes, sir. Yep. Yes. Fantastic. That's the way to do it. Yeah. Good. Super. Tell me your principal's last name.
Montgomery.
We need to be in prayer for Montgomery because he is stepping out there. And that's really, really nice. And I remember when we were at the University of Houston, we wanted to have a Bible study, and the university wanted to put us in the religious center. They built a big, beautiful religious center. We didn't want to be part of that. And so we just did the same kind of thing you're doing. We just called ourselves a non-religious Bible study group. And school said, okay. So we just met in a room, and that was that. So that was fine. Well, we'll continue to be in prayer. Give us an update on it. All right, let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. The gospel is free. It cost you your son. Cost a Savior his life on the cross. The privilege of telling each other about the gospel is free. But Heavenly Father, the spreading of the word, we're in Satan's world, and these things cost. Where we meet to worship, all these things, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your blessings in this area. We pray that you will continue to bless this humble assembly. Father, we pray now to receive the offerings that we're about to give. You will continue to use them to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior. In his precious name we pray. Amen.
say this. I told Wes, I said, don't worry, I'm not going to talk. James is the talker. But, wow. I know when I came to this church, probably in 1999, believe it or not, I was broken. I was confused. My view of God was distorted, and that God was some monster up there just waiting to get me every time I did wrong. So when everything in my life, my business, so many things were going wrong, I just kept saying, God, what have I done? And I walked in. If my husband starts crying, then I'm going to start crying. And I walked in, and he just said, he was speaking about Job, and he was speaking about, will you trust him no matter what? The phone rings, you lose your children, you lose your business, you lose everything. Will you trust him? And it's about trusting him, not understanding, but trusting him. And I just left and I said, yes, God, I will trust you no matter what. And so since then, I think that from the teachings that all my confusion, and most of you know that my mother's in a nursing home. Her 95-year-old sister is now in that nursing home. And she was totally active, had a stroke, and now she just went down. And I told her, it's like full circle, because I was raised with my cousins, and then you kind of leave and you have your own life, and it's full circle, and we're all back. And I am so blessed that I am able to tell them and tell my mother that it's not our personal sins. It's from Adam and Eve. That's why we're going through this. It's not because we sin personally, because that's all we've heard and that's all of our life. So I don't know. I praise him for where I am. I'm not scared anymore. I don't feel like, oh my goodness, God's punishing me. Hey, it may be some kind of discipline, but the punishment's taken care of on the cross. So, anyway, I wasn't going to speak, but...
Thank you, Judith and Wes. I told her, when she tells me these things, I said, well, you didn't have to marry me to get all the spiritual stuff. You could have just gotten that by coming. And so, okay. First of all, does everyone have the handout? Anyone does not? Okay. People, I feel that where we are in Romans 5 is so crucial to not in understanding the gospel. The gospel, John 3:16, Ephesians 2:8-9, 1 Corinthians 15:2-3. There's just so many beautiful passages that clearly just state, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But as you and I both know, religion, denominations, movements, so messed up on the simple gospel. Everything from works, inviting Jesus into your heart, lordship, salvation, do and do, do and do, you can lose your salvation, on and on and on. That's where a study like this is so important, to guide our correct thinking on that simple gospel. It is a simple gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But understanding all the intricacies of it, so that we're correctly, are straight, or that we're straight thinking on the gospel, is dependent on understanding things like Romans chapter 5. So, what you have in your possession, I don't know if this is going to work or not, probably not. So, what you have though, is every PowerPoint presentation that I would have used today. So that's what you have. So let's begin with the word of prayer and then start again. We're almost through. And I thank you so much for bearing with it. My friend John Henn says, you're still in Romans 5? I said, yeah, but we're in verse 16. He was not impressed. But I just thank you. Yeah. And we'll just go through. Well, I do have some things that aren't on the PowerPoint. See if you can figure out which ones are not. And it's just so vital, people. This is a Bible church. We got to think straight on the gospel. Not just understand, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But why these other things are not true. And the false gospels that are out there. So let's begin with the word of prayer and then start our study. Father, we are so thankful for the opportunity of assembling ourselves with other believers who are like-minded. We have no platform save the Word of God to support and to teach here. No denominational creed, just simply your Word as revealed to us by your Spirit. Pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you would have us to see, Father. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, the first overhead or presentation is Romans 5:15, with just a little, the black, of course, is an understanding of the passage. The red is the text. But not as that transgression, Adam's original sin, so also is the free gift. Now, that word not is important here. We're not going to receive the Adam's original sin in the same way that we're receiving the free gift, is what's being said here. The gracious gift, and that is eternal life from Romans chapter 6. And the reason it's that gracious gift is because of the Greek word, most it just says gift. There are two different words for gift. Here the word charisma emphasizes that the gift is grace. Man does not receive the gift of eternal life as we receive the being under the transgression of Adam's sin. Now, continue verse 15. For if, actually since by that transgression, Adam's original sin, of that one, Adam, the many, all the descendants of Adam, died, spiritual death, inherited from Adam. Much more, and that's what we spent time on last week, much more, did the grace of God and the giving of the gift. Now, you'll note the giving of the gift is different than at the second line at the top of your page, that gracious gift. Two different Greek words for gift. So just to give us a feel of the two different words, the gracious gift, charisma, telling that the gift is by grace. The giving of the gift is from the Greek word noun or verb to give. It's a noun, gift, but it comes from the Greek verb to give. So just to give you that, those power things of going on, the beauty of the text, the giving of the gift, eternal life, by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many who all believed in Jesus Christ. The many here refer all who believed in Christ. We receive the gift by grace through faith, not earned, nor deserved, nor inherited. Okay, verse 16, just second PowerPoint presentation. And the gift, eternal life, is not like that which came through the one who sinned. Reference to Adam's original sin in the garden. Now, I'd like to hold things and just teach them when they come up, but this is too powerful, what's coming up. Think about what caused all this trouble. And I've got it in my notes. I doubt we'll get to it today. It's the reason I got to just let it out. He ate of the tree. Big deal. He didn't commit a sexual sin. He didn't steal. He didn't do it. What's the big deal of eating the fruit of the tree? People, if we can grasp this point, you will be far above, ahead of so many people. That's the whole point. It doesn't matter what the problem may or may not be in your eyes of a sin. What's the big deal? What's the problem if I do this or that or don't do this or that? I can understand murder. I can understand, I can even understand stealing. But what's the big deal here? We've got to think about sin from God's perspective. It's a disobedience of God's word and plan. That's what he did. So, and the verse 16, and the gift of eternal life is not like that which came through the one who sinned, reference to Adam's original sin in the garden. For on the one hand, the judgment of the entire human race arose from one transgression, Adam's original sin, resulting in condemnation. Now, what we're going to do now is take up a brief look at the concept of judgment. So your next presentation, pertinent judgments. Pertinent judgments that we're going to look at briefly. I'm not going to spend an hour on each one of these. The judgment we have in Romans 5:16. Divine judgment on the entire human race. Then secondly, judgment of personal sins of every member of the human race. People, our sins have to be taken care of. Three, judgment of Jesus Christ on the cross. And four, judgment of all unbelievers at the great white throne judgment. All four of these are pertinent to our study. Now let's go to the next. It has a Roman numeral 2 on the top. The judgment in Romans 5:16. And we're taking a look at the phrase, judgment that results in condemnation. Alright, point one. All members of the human race come under the judgment by being heirs of Adam. So we're all, by being heirs of Adam, we're under this judgment. People, it's not your personal sins that cause us to be under condemnation. That's the important thing here. So many Christians want to make personal sins the whole reason we're in out of kilter with God. No, we started off at birth under condemnation. Point two, because of this judgment, we are minus God's righteousness. And this is essential. This goes with our study in Job, the 10 questions of Job. The righteousness of God, that's the great issue. And the righteousness is the great issue in relationship with God. 10 questions of Job. Three, and by the way, this is family, we're small, we're here. You got a question, raise your hand. I'm here to teach, to communicate what's going on in Romans. So I don't want to miss it. If you've got a question, somebody else probably has it also. Point three. Because we are without righteousness, we come under condemnation. That's why we're under condemnation, not because of personal sins. We're born under condemnation. We're born without the righteousness of God. For, because of this judgment and condemnation, we are spiritually dead. We are born spiritually dead, and this is the reason we sin, personal sins. It's because this is the way we're born. So let's start off, when we're born under condemnation, under judgment, minus the righteousness of God. That's how we start out. Point five, next page. So, we have two counts against us. No righteousness and total inability to produce the righteousness because we're spiritually dead. That's how we are. We are without righteousness and we have no ability to produce righteousness. That which is unrighteous cannot make itself righteous. A lemon cannot produce an apple. We are unrighteous. Unrighteousness is all that proceeds from us. That's why the scripture says, all of our righteousness is as filthy rags before Him. Six, these judgments are resolved by the spiritual death of Christ on the cross and by our faith in Him. Seven, by simple, non-meritorious faith in Jesus Christ, we are imputed God's perfect righteousness and justified and given the free gift of eternal life. There's the flow of our passage. All right, Roman numeral 3, the next presentation. Roman numeral 3. Yes. I'll make them up. Yeah. There are other things involved. Where we are, we're just dealing with man's condition as he's born into the spiritual warfare. Yes, the whole warfare has already been going on. That's why we're here. And that's why Satan came into the garden. He was jealous of what God possessed, and he wanted it for his own. And so all of that plays to what's going on. We're just coming down to the nitty-gritty here. Yes? What about Cain and Abel? Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Now, when you come to Cain and Abel, and I've already mentioned this, there is no law, thou shalt not kill your brother, Cain. Well, I'm just saying, there was no law. That's why in the previous verse in Romans 5:14, it said, no one sinned in the manner of Adam from Adam to Moses, because they didn't have any law. But the law was inside of man. With Eve? Well, they had a direct law from God. They had a direct law from God, do not eat. And that's why Cain and everybody from Adam to Moses did not sin in the same manner as Moses. Because the law had not been given. with Moses, we had the law. So everyone had sinned, they'd sinned, but not in the same manner that Adam did. Okay? All right. Point five. Well, wait a minute. No, we're in Roman number three. Roman number three is the next category, judgment of personal sins of every member of the human race. What about our personal sins? Okay, one, all members of the human race are under judgment because of personal sins. We're under judgment. Committed because, personal sins committed because we're already sinners. But those compounded our judgment. But not the initial judgment. So they have to be taken care of. And so we're already under condemnation. We commit personal sins like compounds. That's like the old saying, can they hang any higher? That's all they can do. You know, they've already got me for murder, and if I murder you, what are they going to do? Hang me higher? So it's just a condemnation added. Point two. The judgment, though, here's the point with our personal sins. The judgment for our personal sins is not poured out on us. They were all poured out on Jesus on the cross. So this judgment of our personal sins, I probably should have put that in, is not poured out on us. They were all poured out on Jesus Christ on the cross. So we are not under judgment for personal sins. Jesus Christ took that judgment. We're under judgment because of Adam's original sin imputed to us. People, there are very few who understand what we're doing here. What the Bible is saying here in Romans 5. We have way we humanly want to think about it rather than the way that it is scripturally given. So, any questions on that? We are under condemnation and judgment because of Adam's original sin. We committed personal sins, but we do not bear the judgment for that. That's saved for Christ on the cross. Yes.
Is it Adam's original sin?
Yes. Yes. Okay, but when he initially sinned against God, he changed the whole relationship between the creation and the Creator. And that's what we inherited. That total change in him that was handed down to us. Taken care of by Christ on the cross. That's how marvelous the cross is. That's the grace of it. That's the wonders of it. Yes. There are a lot of reasons. Number one, the truth just isn't really taught. Number two, we get so caught up with sin. In fact, I'll be doing a discussion on sin. We're so intrigued with sin rather than the cross. We make more out of the cross or of the sin than we do the cross. Yes. Than on Christ. Yep. And that's why people want to say, oh, you know, you'll answer for your sins. People, no one is going to answer for their sins, even the unbeliever. That's why I have that down here. I have it down here not so we can cover the doctrine of the great white throne, but so we can talk about sin of the unbeliever. What happens to their personal sin? But we'll come to that in a moment. All right, let's go to the next one, Roman numeral 4. Roman numeral 4. Judgment on Jesus Christ on the cross. Line in all the Bible. This is a line that covers through all the Bible. Journey to the cross. That's why Christ says this was talking about of the prophets of old. This was talked about. Where's it talk? This is the line that runs all the way through the coming Messiah from Genesis through Revelation. All right. Point one. All the personal sins of all the members of the human race were poured out on Jesus on the cross. He received the judgment. We don't. Yes. The judgment seat of Christ?
Yes.
All right. The judgment seat of Christ. That is for believers only. And it's to evaluate the length and the amount of time you spend in the Holy Spirit. It's an evaluation of your life. It's an evaluation. The pastors will be evaluated upon what did they build on the foundation of Christ. Did they use gold, silver, precious stone, the truth of the word, wood, hay, and straw, which is not evil. It's in the Bible. It's just not solid. It's not going to carry you anywhere. So, at the judgment seat of Christ, sins are not the issue. All he's going to look at is, as it were, here's your life, and the time that you spend in the Holy Spirit, that will last through the fire. Do not confuse in your conversations saying gold, silver, precious stone, wood, and stubble, referring to the believers. That's not in the New Testament. Those materials are specifically used in 1 Corinthians 3 for the material used by every pastor that he will teach on. Every pastor that he's talking about believers built on the foundation of Christ. So we start off with that. Some pastors will use gold, silver, and precious stones. They'll study and teach the Word of God. Some will go to wood, hay, and straw. They're all combustible, different degrees of combustion. A house made of wood burns slower than a house of straw. But they're all in the Word, and they just don't last through the testing of time in your life, or at the efficiency rating of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ. So you got two different things going on there. The gold, silver, precious stones, wood, and stubble, that's for the pastor's material. God takes the pastor very seriously. We generally don't. Just whoever, whatever, always sounds good, looks good, and all that kind of stuff. God takes it very seriously what he chooses to teach. Is he teaching the truth of my word? Or is he teaching wood, hay, and straw? Or is he not teaching any truth at all? So his life goes up. Now, believers' life is evaluated, and then there's a whole list of different rewards that believers receive at the judgment seat of Christ. Depending, and it just fundamentally bottom-lining it, the amount of time you've spent in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's just say you lived your Christian life 20 years. 20 years you were a born-again believer. 10 minutes you logged in the Holy Spirit. In that whole 20 years, you went to church, gave, sang, boop, 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 everything. Only 10 minutes in the power of the Spirit. Everything you did is burned. It's gone. Only what you did. You get a certificate of honorable mention. It'll be burned. That's it. But that's the judgment seat of Christ. And so that's not what we're talking about here. Okay? All right. The judgment seat of Christ is immediately after the rapture in that 7-year period. Several things are going on. One of those is the judgment seat of Christ. The great white throne is at the end of the millennium when all unbelievers appear. And there, as we'll see, their sins will not be talked about either. Okay. So we're on Roman numeral 4. Judgment on Jesus Christ on the cross. This is the line that goes through the Bible. The coming of the Messiah. 1. All the personal sins of all members of the human race were poured out on Christ on the cross. He took the judgment. We do not get the judgment. 2. All sins of every member of the human race are paid for and forgiven because Jesus Christ's person and work on the cross. All sins of every member of the human race. That means, people, if we understand Romans and understand what's going on the cross, the sins of the unbeliever are taken care of on the cross. He will not have to answer for his sins. People that do not like that and do not want to believe that sins of the unbeliever are taken care of on the cross, that means they're going to have to pay for them. Well, that's what they did. No, that's not what they get and deserve. They're at the great white throne judgment because they rejected Christ as Savior, not because of personal sin. Please do not cheat Christ out of what happened on the cross. People, he bore the sins of everyone on the cross. Everyone. Unbelievers, believers. people that will never believe in Him. Their sins are forgiven. That's what kind of God we have. Christians don't like that. A lot of Christians don't. I want you to pay for your sins. And if God's not going to mention them, I'll tell everybody myself. See? That's why they like to gossip and malign. They're taken care of by grace on the cross. Point two, under Roman numeral 4, all sins of every member of the human race are paid for and forgiven because of Jesus Christ's work on the cross. Three, so, what happened on the cross? I have an A and B. What happened on the cross? A. On the cross, Jesus Christ took care of two of our condemning problems. Judgment of all personal sins is taken care of. Judgment of Adam's original sin taken care of once we believe. Once we believe, it's taken care of. One does not have to believe for personal sins to be taken care of. This is why at the last judgment, personal sins will not be mentioned. B, but to take care of the imputation of Adam's original sin and result in spiritual death, each individual must believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. This is why faith in Christ is so important, and this is why Satan and man, and I'm including man too, we want so much to be part of the equation. I invited Jesus into my heart. I made Him Lord. I. No, people, it's what He did. And all that we can do is believe it. Believe in Him. It's that simple. Yes?
I was just wondering, in that picture of Christ, when God
with
Abraham
sleep
and He went through.
That's exactly what He did. I do it all. Yeah. And Abraham was asleep and didn't have any part of the covenant. Same thing with ours. He took care of it all. Took care of everything. So point B, to the take care of imputation of Adam's original sin and result of spiritual death, each individual must believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. This is going to take care of imputation of righteousness, take care of Adam's original sin, all these things. So I hope you can see why there is nothing you can do to take care of the judgments against us. Not by any works, not by accepting, inviting, or making Him Lord. Simple faith in Jesus Christ. And this is the understanding of why. People come up with that and you want to tell them why. Well, here's why. This is why inviting Jesus isn't the issue. This is why making Him Lord is not the issue. This is why living a moral life is not the issue. This is why do and do is not the issue. So we come to the next sheet where you have at the top the plus and minus of the cross. This is from John Hintz, talking to John, and he says he looks at this as a plus and minus. Minus, personal sins, plus, righteousness. Minus personal sins equals propitiation. Do you follow that? Now we're taking theology. Personal sins out of the issue. Who is satisfied now that personal sins have been taken care of? God. Who is satisfied? Who is propitiated? God. God is satisfied with the work of Christ on the cross in reference to our personal sins. See, what a lot of people think is, I was so bad, now I've got to be really, really good, as though I can. I've got to be legalistic. I can't do anything, because, boy, I was bad over here. And that's the way they play this game. My good has to outweigh my bad. That's not what God's doing, people. He's not up there tallying our good and bad. He's not like Santa Claus, making a list and checking it twice. He's not like that. That's what Satan does. He puts it all on His Son on the cross. And therefore, minus personal sins, God is satisfied. So now, stay with me. Here you stand before God. Personal sins are no longer an issue. They're gone. God is satisfied. They've been taken care of. Then why am I still standing there? Because of the imputation of Adam's original sin and mine is righteousness. So therefore, the next line, plus righteousness equals justification. Minus personal sins, God is propitiated. Plus the righteousness imputed to those who believe in Christ, we're justified before God. Everyone receives minus personal sins. By faith alone, you receive righteousness and eternal life. This is the grace of God. Everyone receives minus personal sins. God is propitiated with all personal sin. That's 1 John 2. All this is the grace of God. Okay? That's all that is the grace of God. Now we come to Roman numeral 5. Roman numeral 5, yes. Yes. Okay. The thing here is, I would love to say, get my study, you know, but, we did a lengthy study. Not lengthy, what is it, maybe one or two lessons? On the imperative mood. What'd you say? on the imperative mood. The imperative mood is the furthest in the Greek mood to reality. God doesn't intend on us doing or not doing those imperatives. They are given to us so that we will know what God does expect. But I can't do them, so I must rely on His Spirit. He does not expect man to do those things or not do those things. He knows we cannot. But when it's like the law. I cannot do that, so I'm going to have to rely on the Holy Spirit. And if I do His love, I fulfill them all. But in the flesh, I can't do any of them. So all those imperatives are to reveal to us what God expects. And the only way we can do that is by the filling of the Spirit. Does that help? Okay. All right, Roman numeral 5. Judgment of all unbelievers at the great white throne judgment. Talked about in Revelation 20. People are not going to study the doctrine of the great white throne judgment. I have one aspect of it I want to talk about here. This is very important, for as most people are wrong on their understanding of condemnation and the cross work of Christ, most are wrong on their understanding of what happens to every unbeliever at the end of time at the great white throne judgment. So, point one. Remember, everyone is under judgment of Adam's original sin, therefore under condemnation. Two, Jesus Christ died for the sins of everyone, so every unbeliever's sins are paid for on the cross. His sins will not be mentioned at the great white throne judgment. Every unbeliever will be there because he refused to believe in Jesus Christ. That's why he's there. Next slide. Point three. So, the issue at the great white throne judgment is not personal sins. The issue is one singular sin. Now, I don't know how you're going to do it, but turn to John 18. John 18. John 16. Somewhere in John. John 16. This is why these kinds of things are so vital to understand clearly, rationally. John 16, verse 8. Verse 7, the sending of the Holy Spirit. But I, Jesus Christ, tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. He's talking to the disciples. For if I do not go away to the Father, the Helper, that's the Parakletos, the Spirit, shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. And He, now here's the point. And He, the Holy Spirit, when He comes, will convict the world concerning sin, singular, and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in Me. There it is, people. Not personal sins. You're not convicted of personal sins. The religion will make you convicted of personal sins. People will make you convicted. Oh, I can't believe you did that. Oh, you're so horrible. Oh, you stole. Oh, you're a homosexual. Oh, you did this. You did that. Try to put all that on you. Not the Holy Spirit. Convicts of one. One singular sin. Refusal to believe in Jesus Christ. And then he says, and concerning righteousness. Well, if you stay consistently through this, there are different ways of taking it. I prefer the consistently. We're talking about in verse 8 concerning sin. That's the person's sin. They do not believe. Concerning righteousness, that's their own righteousness. Because I go to the Father and you no longer behold me. They don't have his righteousness. And then concerning judgment, behold, the ruler of this world has already been judged. But the point that I want to deal with, and go back to your sheet now, where number 3 is at the top. So the issue at the great white throne judgment is not personal sins. The issue is one singular sin. Did you not believe in Jesus Christ? The issue is God's righteousness. And the only way the unbeliever receives the righteousness of God is by faith in Christ, not by works of righteousness, not by do and do, not by not smoking, not drinking, not chewing, not by any of these types of things. It's by faith in Christ as his personal Savior. And everyone who refuses to believe in Christ will stand at the great white throne judgment. Now one more point, point four. Everyone who does not believe in Jesus Christ will stand at the great white throne judgment. Personal sins will not be mentioned. I know, I've heard them, I'm sure most of you have. Oh, sure, your sins will find you out, and when you stand there, all your sins will flash before you. There'll be a video playing of every... That's a horrible thought. Number one, I may... Oh, that was a pretty good one. See? Then I'm back into trouble again. See? That's terrible. What kind of God do you have? He's keeping a big video of all of our sins and they'll flash before you. What kind of God is that? His son bore them, but I'm keeping a video of you. Boy, my son had to die on a cross, but I've got a video of you and your sins. See? No. That's not God. Everyone who does not believe in Jesus Christ will stand at the great white throne judgment, and personal sins will not be mentioned. They were taken care of by Jesus Christ on the cross. Either you believe that or you don't. I can't make you believe it, and it's up to you. Do you believe what happened on the cross happened? Or do you believe that he only died for certain people and certain sins? There are people who believe, and I've heard it now with all of the dramatization dealing with homosexuality, you cannot go to heaven and be a homosexual. That's not in this book. That is a lie from Satan. That's not in this book. That's man playing his game about God. Got a grip on you with the law. Keep you in line with the law. God keeps us in line with love, not with the law. People just have to think clearly, think biblically on these issues. Continuing, unfortunately, most people think they are judged for personal sins, but that was taken care of at the cross. They will be there because they refuse to believe in Jesus Christ. The basis of being under the wrath of God for all eternity is their refusal to believe in Jesus Christ, not because of personal sins. All their good works will be weighed against the work of Christ on the cross. So that's the great white throne judgment. Any questions? Not the great white throne judgment. Okay, let's go back to the next sheet now. It's red. I am ever so thankful for this lady at the Office Depot. I walked in last night and I said, okay, now I got a real problem. I got 4 sheets with color on it. And then I got, I think it was 13 sheets. 12 sheets with no color on them. Do we have to make all the colored ones so we charge that? And all, she said, no, we'll just put it. And she sat there, and I said, will you have sheets? all her printer thing. Boy, I love that gal. She's wonderful. Okay, let's take a look at our passage. For judgment arose was from one transgression, in parentheses, it's not in the original, Adam's original sin in the garden, resulting, not in the original, but so that we can have a smooth reading, in condemnation. For judgment from one transgression, Adam's original sin in the garden, resulting in condemnation. Now, the New American Standard, but on the other hand, the free gift, that's the charisma, the grace, arose from many transgressions resulting in justification. What's this referring to? Let me just jump to it so you'll begin to through your thought process. But on the other hand, the free gift from many transgressions resulting in justification, that's all the transgressions of the world poured out on Christ on the cross. Okay? Now, the King James, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. The NIV, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. The Greek, on the one hand, free gift out from many transgressions to justification. Okay? Now, let's take a look at, just keep, if you're going to take notes this time, I'm going to talk to you now. We're not on the overhead. I'm just going to talk now. But the free gift, so Morgan, this is where you got to stay awake now. All right. But the free gift arose from, or as the King James has it, is of. The King James says is of. The NIV has followed. Those are all different translations of the Greek here. Many transgressions, many offenses, many trespasses. Three translations, three different words. Transgressions, offenses, trespasses. We'll look at that difference in a moment. Now, and to justification. All right, brought justification is just to justification. So, look at verse 16. But on the other hand, contrast with how we receive judgment and condemnation. The free gift, charisma, emphasizing the gift, emphasizing that it's a free gift, grace gift, not earned, not deserved, and refers to eternal life, the grace gift of eternal life. But on the other hand, the grace gift arose from many transgressions. Preposition is ek. That's an ek. It's out from. Out from. So if we look at the way the different, we have different translations of this, we'll come to the word transgression in a moment. But the NASB, resulting. The King James has unto. The NIV, brought or brought. So let's take a look at this ek. It means out from. Out from. Now we come to the word trespasses. Transgressions, offenses, trespasses. NASB, transgression. King James, offenses. NIV, trespasses. Transgressions, offenses, trespasses. These all come from one Greek word, paratoma. Means to fall by the way. Now please stay with me. This gets so beautiful here. To fall by the way. And the same word is used in verse 15, 16, 17, and 18. To deviate, it means to deviate from the right. Offense against what is right. Let me just jump to it, people. He ate of the tree. Ooh, that's really bad. He ate of the tree. Wow. He didn't murder Eve. He didn't do anything really, really bad. People, here's your beginning of grasping sin. It deviates from God's standard. It deviates from God's righteousness. It doesn't matter how little, how big, how offensive, how non-offensive. See, we want to look at sin. That makes us feel better. I would never be like that. I would never be like Bill Clinton. See, Christians like to say that. No, you do other things. You have arrogance, judgments, all these things going on inside of you. You've deviated from what is right. Get your eyes off of your view. Well, what's so bad about that? Get your eyes on God. God's righteousness. It deviates from His righteousness. So let's take a look now. The Greek word translated transgressions, offenses, trespasses, means to deviate from what is right. Offense against what is right. To trespass what is right. Which is determined by the righteousness of God. So trespass from the righteousness of God is fine. Offend the righteousness of God is fine. To transgress the righteousness of God is fine. As long as we understand what we're saying. They didn't do what God said. They went against what God said. It doesn't matter if that fruit of the forbidden tree was the best fruit in the whole world. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it was full of every vitamin, mineral, and herb that our bodies need. It doesn't matter. God said, don't eat. It's not up for you and me to say, why not? It's not up to us to say, what bad is that going to do? What difference is that going to make? Ours is to say, what saith the Lord? What does God say? Now you're on your right track of thinking about sin. Now you're on the right track. If we understand what's going on here. But on the other hand, the grace gift, eternal life, as opposed to condemnation, arose out from many transgressions, resulting in justification. We've gone through justification. We've studied justification in so many different places. But I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. But before you do, look at your next slide. Look at your next slide. Justification. I don't have time to go through the whole doctrine of justification again. That's why we spent so much time on it in Romans 3. But here we have justification simply. God declaring righteous everyone who believes in Jesus Christ. That's justification. It is not just as you've never sinned. You sinned, Christ had to die. You believed in Christ, He declared you righteous. And righteousness is the whole issue between the Creator and the creature in Job, the 10 questions of Job. We are born unrighteous without the righteousness of God. Continue reading your slide. Resulting in condemnation. We are condemned not because of personal sins, but because of our unrighteousness which we inherited from Adam. People, that's a profound statement. You've got to grasp this. I know we're unloading a lot on you in 1 hour. But if you can slowly absorb, that's why I wanted to print these up. So that you can just go through and be sure your thought process is there. And please, if you have any questions, email me or give them to me next Sunday. If you have any questions as you go over these things, we're dealing with the most important of all doctrines, the gospel. We're dealing with why the false gospel is false. The bottom of the justification page. Then we believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. And at that point, God imputes His perfect righteousness to us because we believed in Jesus Christ as Savior. Then we're justified. Then God imputes eternal life. Okay? Now, let's go to Romans chapter 3 a moment, please. Romans chapter 3. We're almost through. Romans 3. We've spent a lot of time on this, but we're just going to read it from the NASB, the English version of this, and see what we can gather up from this. Romans 3, verse 20. Romans 3, 20. Because by the works of the law, any kind of do and do system, no flesh will be justified. And that's the great issue. We've got to be justified. And the great issue behind justification is imputed righteousness. Okay. We'll be justified in His sight. And people, it doesn't matter what friends think. Legalistic friends are impressed with legalistic friends. Non-legalistic people are offended by legalistic people. Make us sick. Don't even want to be around them. It's only what does God think. So let's see what He says in His sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, it comes through faith in Jesus Christ, for all those who believe, for there is no distinction between Jew and Gentile. For all have sinned and excluded from the glory of God. I cannot stand fall short. That does not mean to fall short. Fall short is to lose a football game by 2 points. To fall short is to miss a $1,000 payment by $10. I've just fallen a little. People, we're not even close to the righteousness of God. Don't even think about falling short. We're excluded. Okay, I'm sorry. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God publicly displayed as a propitiation in His blood through faith. This was to demonstrate His righteousness, because in the forbearance of God He passed over sins previously committed. That's all our personal sins. For the demonstration, I say, of His righteousness at the present time, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Why is it just faith? Because sins have been taken care of. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. May God add His blessing to the reading of His Word. Father, the gospel is simple. It's free. It's easy. But there's so much confusion throughout all church history, correctly understanding the gospel, wanting to make an issue of sins, not wanting people to have eternal security, so occupied with sins, so occupied with man. Father, I pray Your Spirit will take the things we've seen this morning and slowly ferment in our souls so that we clearly understand what the issue is and isn't, and just have peace. Father, we're not going to witness so much of what we're seeing here this morning to everyone, but I hope, pray, Father, that You will use these things for our clear thinking on it, so that we can clearly and simply answer questions that people have, wrong assumptions that they have, the wrong gospel, distorted gospels. Give us clear understanding of Your truth, Father. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory and for our relationship with Him for all eternity. Amen.